Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we gotta do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, better known as Carol the Coach, and I am so happy to be with you on Thursdays. You know, this is a special time for us because we get to connect, learn together, and really just bond when it comes to what you've been through and how to help you get through that. There is nothing more devastating than partner betrayal, and it doesn't matter whether this happened to you 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, or 20 years ago. If you aren't seeing the right people, if you don't have a partner specialist who can help you with this issue, wow, then you are probably not getting all the help you could. I mean, I'm not saying your counselor or your coach isn't doing a good job, but if they're not partner sensitive, if they haven't been trained to be partner sensitive, then they're not going to know what to do. They haven't figured out what is partner betrayal from a trauma perspective. And that's what we do. We know that partner betrayal oftentimes, more often than not, leads to, you got it, leads to trauma. And we want to help you work through that trauma. So that's what we're doing today, is we're talking about something called brain spotting, which is just a brand new trauma treatment to help people work through the places in their brain that have been significantly altered or impaired. And we've got a coach on who is going to tell us all about this. I'm so excited. And so I'm hoping that you too will be able to look into this process and say, hey, is this the process for me? You know, I was just doing a consultation with some amazing coaches and clinicians and talking about partner trauma. And I shared with them how important it is for us as professionals to acknowledge the pain that you're in, but also not be defined by it. And that means that what you more often than not need to do is figure out how to increase your self-care so that you are balancing the drama and the trauma of what you've been through with taking good care of yourself. And that's what we do at APSATS. We want to help you take really good care of yourself. Now, think about this, if you would. What's one thing that you do that you love to do that makes you feel happy? I'm going to give you 3 seconds to think. Okay, let's figure that out together. I mean, I know you may be in the state of mind that nothing makes you happy anymore. Nothing. But truly, there should be little things that still bring a smile to your face or a flutter in your heart, or they give you that general feeling of hope that there still is inside of you a sense of joy. May be too strong of a word, but contentment, happiness, serenity maybe. So I wish that we could talk about this, and I wish that, you know, you could call me up and tell me what that is and help me to know. But since we can't, I'll talk to you about what the partners tell me. You know, oftentimes the partners I talk to have a pet, and they'll say, when my pet climbs up on my neck and lays his little head on my shoulder and falls asleep, that makes me feel happy. Or women in their 50s and 60s might say, you know, when I'm watching my grandchildren and they are playing on the swing, they're dealing with life, they're innocent, they're unaware of things that could happen around them, that makes me happy. I've had partners say dance makes them happy. You know, I have a partner betrayal course, and it's actually moving you to post-traumatic stress. You can get it on my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. And it is partners all over the world sharing how they got to that third phase, how they got to post-traumatic growth. You know, they did have post-traumatic stress, but after going through the stages that we at APSATS define as safety and stabilization, phase one, phase two, grieving, mourning, and remembrance, three, restoration of self, restoration of the coupleship, or restoration, if you will, with your higher power. When you get over to that third phase, I call that post-traumatic growth, because you're usually stronger as a result of it, and you've more than likely learned life skills that you didn't have before this whole thing happened. Now, I know you're probably sitting there saying to me, yeah, I could live without the life skills, Carol. I could have lived without this trauma, and I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, I believe it was Mother Teresa that said that her plate was really full, and she just wished God hadn't trusted her much, that much, to have that full plate. What we know is that trauma can lead to post-traumatic growth. And so the partners in that online course say that, you know, they got in touch with what they needed to feel stronger, and they did dance, and they did learn how to play piano, and they did increase their relationship with their higher power, and they did feel more connected to God. And when that happens, I promise you that you will enter into that stage, that phase of post-traumatic growth. And that's when you'll no longer be defined by partner betrayal, but you will have found some new things to replace some of what you had that you lost. And the best way to do that oftentimes is through trauma treatments. So as I indicated, I am talking today with a coach. Her name is Julie Saint-Ange, and she took a training on brain spotting after working with some supervisors who really felt like this was a very effective way to not only treat trauma, but also to treat individual conditions like attention deficit disorder. And so she took the training. She's still in that. And she was so taken aback by how powerful it is that I asked her to come on the show so she could describe brain spotting and what it does and what you would do if you were working on brain spotting, give you a little education about it. You may have heard about it. It's kind of like EMDR in that it is a treatment program that you don't have to do a lot of talking. As a matter of fact, in brain spotting, there's very little. You have to feel and you have to be aware of your body. And that can be very exciting because what women do when they feel that trauma of partner betrayal, they are so overloaded cellularly and also physiologically that they shut down a lot of their thoughts, feelings, and body sensations and kind of lock the body up. And so I can't wait to talk with her about how brain spotting can heal the brain. So, Julie, welcome to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Carol. It's good to be here.
Well, I so appreciate you helping us to understand this relatively new process. You know, I didn't know whether I should call it trauma treatment. I didn't know whether I should call it process. So tell us, if you will, a little bit about what brain spotting is, and then you can maybe give us some examples of who can use it and how it's used.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, Carol, as you know, my background is nursing, and I just love science and studying behavior. And so when I started learning about brain spotting and using it with my clients, I started documenting and tracking progress. And what I noticed now that I've done it over 400 times is just the speed in which people are healing and getting unstuck and just seeing so many changes in their behavior that they couldn't convince themselves to do before. So spotting is it's using the brain-body connection and your eyes, because where you look affects how you feel. And I could go into the gutter of scientifically what the theories are. I don't want to lose your audience here. So just to say real simply, there's 1 to 4 quadrillion connections in your brain, which is more than the stars in the galaxy. And so it's really hard to find the connections that feel broken or out of place or very dysregulating. And certainly there's so many good therapies out there like CBT and talk therapy, EMDR, neurofeedback. This is just one more tool to help people put the puzzle.
I don't know how this happened, but we just lost Miss Julie. So I'm sure she's going to call back because she had me thinking about all this. I'm not sure exactly how one is able to identify it. So she is back on, and I'm just excited that she's going to continue the process of talking about how this is done. So, Julie, do you remember where you left off?
I do. Sorry about that, Carol. So this is a tool in that process of finding those pieces in your mind that make you feel dysregulated and unorganized in your behavior. So trauma goes in and you take it in through your eyes, and a lot of times it doesn't assimilate into the story of you. Your brain responds to the threat. So the eyes are 5 times quicker than the brain. So it recognizes the threat, triggers the amygdala, and stores it in a time capsule. And so the way that that comes out is all the triggers that come into our atmosphere cause that capsule to dysregulate us. So what the brain spotting does is it allows us to open and unpack that without ever really talking. I do either a lot of interaction with my clients, or some prefer to just sit quietly and process. So I help them find the spots, and then they process. Oftentimes, the first session is the hardest. There are some tears because it's kind of like opening a wound that's been sewed shut when it was still infected. You have to feel to heal. You have to unpack the mess to get to the issue. But I'm just seeing such changes in behavior, so much so that I do it with my whole family, and they really love it. So that's a little bit about what it is.
And so would you call it a trauma treatment, or would you call it a trauma process?
I would say that it's both, and it depends on how it works for that person, but not necessarily always just trauma. It was first discovered by David Grand in 2003, and he actually used it with a figure skater who was having trouble hitting the triple loop. And they did this form of brain therapy and found that right after that, she was able to perform at a much higher level. And he found that especially with pro athletes, they have a lot of injuries when they're practicing and when they're performing, and that this debulks the trauma. So I liken it to your memories being kind of...
I don't know why she's dropping, but I think she's going to tell us that she likens it to our memories of thoughts along with, kind of very stressful body sensations. And so it's really when the coach or the clinician observes those kind of body sensations with the memories that you can see that somebody's processing, right, Julie?
Exactly, yeah. And so we use the body when it gets triggered by those memories. That's the indicator of where the memories are the most stressful. And then you can go and process them, and then they're just not triggering anymore. I find that after 1 to 3 sessions, it's just a game changer for people that have tried almost everything. And you can use it with ADD, trauma, anxiety, depression. I actually had a client that tried it with morning sickness, and I was shocked at how it worked, but it kind of makes sense because of where the pregnancy hormones come from, even in the brain. And
Can I ask you, because obviously you're talking about treating morning sickness, and then the originator, the founder of this, was treating performance. And so if I were going to be a ghost in your office and you were treating somebody, what would I watch? What would I watch her do? And then what would I watch you do?
So I would say to the person, go ahead and pick a topic that feels very dysregulating. And so she picks that topic. And then I would say, can you go ahead and locate where you feel that physically? And we try not to say body, because people who have had a lot of childhood abuse don't always associate that they even have a body, because it's not safe. So we'll say, where do you feel that physically? And they may say, oh, I feel it in my chest. I just feel such heaviness. And I would say, okay, so when you're looking at me, what number of heaviness do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? And she may say, oh, I feel a 4. So I use a method called inside window method, where I help them find the spot. So I'll say, pretend like there's a clock a few feet in front of you, and it's a big clock. It's your whole field of vision. And they'll say, okay, so look up at 12 o'clock. And sometimes they overextend their vision. And I say, okay, bring it a few feet in front of you so it's not so stretched. And then I'll...
Okay, we lost her again. But I'm going to tell us that after she looks at that 12 o'clock position, that it helps her find a focal point where she can actually begin to focus as she has the memory. So you asked her to look at 12 o'clock, right, Julie?
Yep, and then I'll have her rate her, they call it a SUD score, her subjective units of distress scale. And if she says, oh, gee, that's a 2, I'll have her change her vision. I'll say, look to your left. And so she'll look to her left, and I'll say, go ahead and scan your body again. And she'll scan her body. And then we may say, okay, so now you're feeling a 7. And so that may mean that she's more distressed in that spot and more of the memory is coming up in that field of vision. So I have her stay there. Thing begins. I have her put on some bilateral music, and that's music that goes from your left ear to your right ear, the left ear to right ear. And as she looks at that spot, that capsule opens, and we can start to help her process it. It's not something you want to do on your own because I'm watching reflexes in the face. I'm watching breathing patterns, and I can really tell without them saying a word whether that subjective scale is going up or down. Now, if they're very triggered very quickly and they're, you know, I will stay right with them and say, at some point, do you need a break? Do you want to find a safe spot? Do you want to go to a resource spot that feels really grounded and calm? So I'm just watching very carefully. Typically, it takes about 45 minutes for an intense trauma spot to resolve. But most clients find that after that first one, they don't even have to go back to that original spot, and they see a huge difference in behavior. People that have ADD seem to process a lot quicker. It's about half the time. And children's brains are really, really quick, and they'll get a really bad spot done in about 20 minutes. So it's very fast and very effective, and it's seeming to bring a lot of healing to people who really need it. I know another thing that David Grand used brain spotting for was they originally took it to the Sandy Hook shooting community, and mm-hmm. they found that it was the most effective tool for helping those families heal from trauma. So even more so than the EMDR that they had brought in.
And I want to remind people that EMDR is a procedure. It's eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And through that same kind of bilateral stimulation, clients or patients are supposed to come up with images and memories and begin to experience them as if they are right there. And through bilateral stimulation, it decreases the intensity and the focus. Now, would you say, Julie, that brain spotting decreases the intensity and the frequency of the disturbance? Or what did you call it? You didn't call it disturbance. You called it distress. What does the D stand for?
Like dysregulated.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say it definitely does both. I've just seen such amazing impact on people who have had longstanding trauma, complex trauma, where it definitely decreases both. I've had people walk away and say, I didn't notice that the pain wasn't there, but now I see that my behavior is so different around those triggers that it's not even affecting me at all.
Yeah, it almost sounds like magic, doesn't it? And we know it's not magic, but brain is such an amazing storage place. And unfortunately, I know that bad memories or memories that have been contaminated can oftentimes stay stuck. And so brain spotting finds the stuckness, if you will, and then it processes it, does it not?
It does. And just to get a little more scientific, there's a certain type of cell in utero that develops the optic nerve, and it runs straight through the center of your brain, through the limbic space, which is your emotional regulation center. And it connects with something called your superior colliculus. So it's a nonverbal region. And what happens is the bumpy outer layer of the brain, that logic brain called your cortex, almost observes deeper thoughts. And people find it so introspectively healing. So it's really using that connection. The type of cell that forms in utero is the same material that makes up the optic nerve, that makes up the superior colliculus, and that's why that connection is so strong between the eyes and the brain.
So if you are working with me, well, why don't you work with me right now? And our listening audience can be part of this too. I mean, they shouldn't be driving in the car or anything like that, but if they're sitting at their desk or they're sitting in a comfortable chair, can they go through this? I guess you'd have to see them, wouldn't you?
I prefer to see them. I would do it with you right now because I know you, and I know that if there was any problems, I know you would reach out. This is the one thing I do say to clients. Should you have any residual trauma kind of creep up? Because this process actually lasts for 48 hours. So in the next 48 hours, you're going to have amazing awarenesses. You're going to grieve your losses. You're going to feel more of what your brain tried to kind of wall off. But then you're going to experience the peace and the healing. So I'm happy to do it with you. I would say any listeners that want to try it should, you know, either contact me or a professional that does it, so that they can be watched really carefully. But yeah, Carol, if you want to try it, I would say to you, go ahead and pick something, you know, recent. And since I don't have a lot of history, I say, you know, sometimes we jump in the deep end, sometimes we jump in the shallow end. Maybe pick something moderate.
Okay. Now you threw me because I was picking something in my past, but you'd like me to start with recent because
I would say if you go a little bit more moderate, it would just be because I can't see your face and I can't see your facial reflexes. So I'm just going to be listening for your breathing patterns and going off the cues that you say. So, yeah, if you want to pick the topic, you don't even have to share with the audience, but you can if you want to.
Okay, let me think about this for a second. I was going to give you a topic of losing my soulmate in a breakup, but obviously that's too deep. So let me see. Let me just think about this for a second. I know you said you use it with your kids. Well, I'm thinking, tell me how you've used it with your kids.
So one of my kids has anxiety, and she can't seem to get to the root of it. So she basically circular thinks and ruminates on the same topics again and again and again. Bullying at school, friends that have hurt her. She's feeling alone. She's just feeling displaced in life. So it's funny because if she were to describe this to you, she'd say, this is a trick Mom uses to make me cry. Just because the first time she did cry. But she, you know, picked her topic. I asked her where she felt it. She said she had a bellyache. I said, okay, let's try to find where you see that bellyache, where when you look, that gets worse. And I have a pointer, and with kids, I'll put a finger puppet on the pointer. And so we found the spot for her. And she did exactly what other people do. You can watch the pupil dilation during that fight, flight, freeze. There's a tensing of muscles. There's a lot of involuntary twitching of the face. And then at some point, usually around the distress scale of 4, you'll see people take a big sigh. And that's a transition from the fight, flight, freeze sympathetic response of the nervous system to a parasympathetic state, which is rest, relax, heal. And oftentimes in that space, people will even have kind of a God moment where they feel so much peace and him kind of saying to them, you're enough, you're worthy, I'm with you. And then usually people get a little bored and they'll kind of
feeling she was going to say that people get a little bit bored and, you know, they come back into the present. And clearly what she wants is for things to stay on the image. So as she checks back in, you said people get a little bored and what happens?
They do. And I encourage them to stick it out because they'll have more good effects later. So I say, you know, try to stay with it. Try to finish it out. And they're really glad they did because they'll get down to a 0 and have complete peace where they've never had that maybe in their whole adult life.
Got it. Well, I have to tell you, I could come up with nothing in the current. I have a pretty stress-free life. You know, I don't have children, and it's just my husband and myself and my puppy. I love my work, so I'm probably going to have to pass. Let me ask you, can you do this work virtually?
It's actually how I prefer to do it. I do it on Zoom, and it's about a 55-minute session. And I say, you know, if you're a skeptic, give it a shot. See if it works for you. I've only had one person out of at least 100 now who didn't really prefer it, but I actually think that there were other modalities that she needed to heal as well. You know, sometimes brain chemicals are just pretty far off from repetitive trauma. And so you need to find ways to bring that back into balance, too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so what I hear you saying is that it has worked for the majority of your clients, and it's done so very effectively and with very little talk therapy. I mean, it's really about going inward, finding that place, having a good therapist or coach who is watching for all those sensations you talked about, muscular tension, dilation of the eyes, breathing, finding that spot. And then when they find that spot, what do you do next?
I say to them, the very first thing I say is just be curious. Stay on that spot and see what happens. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to decide what to do with it. You don't even have to stay.
It sounds like she doesn't even need to, they don't even have to stay in that spot if they don't want to. But if they reframe how they feel about that spot, you know, if they're curious, It makes them become an observer of whatever it is that they were trying to process. And you and I both know, Julie, that clearly when you become an observer, lots of wonderful things happen because you're detached. And you're detached with a sense of serenity or calmness or love. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. Yeah. And really, when you're observing your own pain, something happens when you give yourself permission to not have to fix it at that moment, to just be a fair witness and make space for it. And a lot of times you'll get 2 or 3 traumatic events that are linked together. So if one spot collapses, it will cause the other two or three events in your life to collapse. Now, that's not to say that all trauma is linked, but oftentimes you will find little pockets where it will affect more than one area in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just amazing to me that this philosophy, this process, really based on the eyes and how we view things. I mean, I know one of your questions is, now where you look affects how you feel. And so you're making that statement. And when you do, what do they oftentimes tell you?
So I really have only had the one client that didn't respond to that. All others, we can map out their feelings. So what I do on my paper, on my side, is I draw a circle. And then when I have them test different places in their field of vision, I write down those numbers. So pretty quickly, I have an idea of where they're feeling the most heightened. And once we find a general area, I'll say, go ahead and scan a few inches around that spot. See if you find something that peaks even more. And what we're looking for is the most distressed place. Now, I do have a few clients that that is actually too much for them. So I have a few that brain spotting alone, we can't just jump into it. We had to do a lot of grounding work first. I had to teach them, what is grounding? What does that look like? Doing that slow, intentional breathing where you're focusing only on your breath. You know, you're focusing on your feet on the ground. I have another exercise where I'll have people find a space that feels very calm with their eyes and have them sit on that for a while and just do a rhythmic breathing, because I want them to know what grounded feels like, what it feels like to be present. I have a few clients that jumping right into their most painful spot is actually too much for them. So what we do is we use a resource spot. They find the place with their eyes that feels the least resistant. And then from that safe place, they process the painful memories. And so for them, they do get to the same, they get to the same benefits of brain spotting, but we just do it a little gentler and a little slower, because I try to go off of cues of my clients.
Okay, and so obviously I said that anybody who does this process with a client really has to be a keen observer, and it is the client who gives you really the nonverbal cues that they found that spot. And so now talk a little bit about this process, because we not only have partners that listen to the show and sex addicts, but we also have clinicians and coaches. So how did you actually learn this technique, and what does it involve in terms of, you know, supervision, groups? Is it something you work on for a couple of years? What would you tell interested clinicians and coaches about brain spotting?
So I'm a lifelong learner, and it's kind of funny because I grew up with such learning disabilities that I don't think I ever could have seen myself loving learning as much as I do. So I plan to stay in groups and consultation on this specific topic for the duration of me working as a coach. But for those who are interested in training, you can look up different trainings that are happening through brainspotting.com. And you need to do phase one and phase two to be certified. And you also need to have consultation and group sessions. And then you're overseen by someone. But there's also specific types of brain spotting that people are doing for eating disorders and addiction. There's a different type of method with addiction where they have you focus on an actual addiction spot and then focus on a consequence spot. And you keep processing. First, you start with the spot that's addictive. You wait till it gets to a zero. And then you go to the consequence spot. And you wait till that gets a little down. But ultimately, what happens is there's a massive shift in that person's neurological ability to start new patterns of working against the addiction.
Well, that's really exciting, isn't it? So have you worked, I know you don't work with addicts, but have you worked with anybody who had a nicotine, a gaming, a food, or a sex addiction and brain spotting?
I actually have. And I've just seen the same patterns of feeling much freer, feeling lighter. You know, I don't know if it's the end-all, be-all. I think for addicts, it's really important to go through your steps, do your group, still see your professionals. But what I see happening with them is there's a lighter spirit. There's a less heavy nature. And if you do the traffic light system or the circle work, you know, when you look at that yellow circle, the things that are your triggers, it cuts those down like crazy. And your irritation that you might not even know why it's there, it can really help that with a lot of people. So the things that may lead you into relapse, it's cutting them down. So it's just a useful tool to add to your whole recovery plan.
Yeah, I love that. So it doesn't replace all forms of treatment, but it is a wonderful adjunct process that helps to work through a lot of those issues. You know, Julie, you're inspiring me to get the training, and I'm sure you're inspiring a lot of other people. Would you share with our listening audience how they can get in touch with you so that they can virtually hire you to do some brain spotting?
Sure. They can look up my business, which is New England Coaching Services, .com, or they can email me at anycoachingservicesllc@gmail.com.
And you have a website, obviously, that is filled with a lot of information. It's so apparent that you have dedicated your life to working with partners and helping them heal. Give your website one more time, because I'm encouraging our listening audience to go to your website and check out the materials that you have available.
Sure. So it's newenglandcoachingservices.com.
Okay, newenglandcounselingservices.com. And
so
I just thank you so much.
It's New England Coaching.
Oh, coaching. Yeah, not counseling, coaching. Thank you, Julie. I thank you so much for this. You've been an inspiration to me. I am going to look up when I can get the next training. And, you know, you basically said you're a lifelong learner, as am I. If a practitioner wanted to use this and wanted to get trained, can they, after the first training, officially use it?
After the first training, you can officially use it, but I would highly recommend having a supervisor, because it's, you know, as we all want to bring hope and healing and not cause harm, where you are stepping into that space, I think it's really important to have somebody who can help guide you through it. But yeah, after the first phase, you can start to use it.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much. And I just look forward to all the new things you're going to be learning in the future, because you really do illustrate and exemplify, if you will, somebody who is always learning. And then not only putting it into practice, but you have a special way of training others with your instruments, with your documents, and with what you've learned. So a big shout out to one of our APSATS coaches, and I'm going to try this again. It's Julie St. Ange.
St. Ange, you did great. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you
so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Make it a great day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. So Julie St. Ange, and again, that's New England Coaching, www.betterhelp.com. And it's got some amazing training stuff for counselors and coaches that, you know, want more information on how to treat partners. And she has some great partner resources, too. All right. This is Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach. And, you know, we're always looking at how we can get better at what we do at AppSats. And we try to create measurable, we try to create measurements that will help us to understand your level of disturbance, your post-traumatic growth, what symptoms you may be having, and what you utilized to get better, to, as I say, detach, to spend more time on you. So I want you to go to appsats.org and look at the studies that we're doing. Take the surveys so that you can make a difference in how we portray partners, letting the world know a bit about you, anonymously, of course, some of the features that you've experienced, some of the symptoms that you've had, as well as some of the goals that you've made for yourself that have really made your life different. That's appsats.org, APSATS.org. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. We'll see you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio here at appsats.org.